Let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs that we sing. Thank you for the offering that was taken and the communion that we took together as a family of God. We thank you for this day that we can freely have your word in our hands, that some of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world do not have that opportunity. They are in hiding. They are fearful for their lives, for even just having a Bible, that maybe they have a scrap of paper that they read from. We are so privileged to have your word. Let us never take that for granted. Father, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What we read in the beginning, last week we talked about the Antichrist. Different names. The Antichrist, the beast, the deceiver, Christ, or Satan, the accuser, Lucifer, Satan. Different names. And at the end, or halfway through, or three quarters through, who cares? Who cares who the Antichrist is? We want to see Christ. But then who is Christ? Who are we talking about? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Creator, the Word of God. I like logic as long as it's not used against me. When it's used against me, I get frustrated. It's like, I get mad. If A equals B, then so on and so forth. When I use it, when I talk about it, I think, well, I am so smart. You should follow my argument. But it's frustrating because when it's used against me, I just hate it. But here we're talking about the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, not a little God, God. And just because we can't understand it does not make it not true. Is that a double negative? Does not unmake the truth. How about that one? Does not unmake the truth. Just because we don't get it, just because we can't wrap our brains around it. People talk about the universe on how big it is. And they said it just can't be. Scientists will sit there and say, no, it just can't be. I like the microverse. If you were to take apart a pocket watch, a real pocket watch, not the new electronic pocket watches, you'd see everything that is intricately made. All the small little gears. And you find something that's very, very old, and you see on how well it's made. But that's not even the microverse. You start looking at cells, even in leaves, in plants, photosynthesis, on how the plant feeds itself through sunlight, on how it takes just sunlight to redirect that energy into making sugar for itself. How? All the little cells, intricately made. But the names of God, names of Jesus, Word, Creator. Book of Revelation 19:13. He was dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. From the beginning to the end. Book of Revelation again. Let's go right to the beginning. Chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. But then again, you go back to the Old Testament, it talks about God Almighty. It talks about God saying, I am the beginning and the end. Revelation again, verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." The first and the last. He was there in the beginning. He will be there at the end. Always. I am. Not I was. Not that I will be. I am. He's constantly there. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he says that Abraham saw my day and he was glad. And he says, hey, they told him, hey, you're not even 30 years old. How can you have seen Abraham? And he says, before Abraham, he goes, I am. And they picked up stones to stone him. He used the word for God, I am. There was no mistake. Jesus did not make a mistake in sitting there saying, well, he never claimed to be God. He always claimed to be God. All the things that he's done. He never came out and said, I am God. He used their words, I am. I am the first and the last, the word of God. Logic. Psalms 118. Psalms 118:22. The stone the builders have rejected has become the capstone. And go to 1 Peter. I know we're jumping around here a little bit. But you can find, look up on the internet, pieces of paper. I'll leave these notes here. You see posters everywhere. And it talks about the names for Jesus. And if you want something interesting, just go through each verse. Highlight them. They're great to highlight. Go through each verse and find out what the names of Jesus mean. 2 Peter. For in the scripture it says, 2 Peter 2. For in the scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe in the stone is, that the stone is, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, this stone the builders have rejected has become the capstone. And a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that will make them fall. Cornerstone. That's the beginning of the building. You have to get the first thing set. You have, laying bricks one by one, you have to get the first one right. The right angles. The right part of the foundation. You get that first one right. You get the footing just right. Everything else after that will fall into place. He was there in the beginning. The stone the builders have rejected has become the capstone. What do you put on top of it? The capstone, meaning you're done. The beginning and the end. The Alpha, the beginning. The Omega, the end. He was there in the beginning. He'll be there in the end. And he'll cap it off. He is God. Anybody work with sheep? Anybody ever been around sheep? They smell. Oh, do they smell? Boy, are they dumb. Are we talking people or sheep? There's a thing on the internet, there's a thing on TV, it's called People Are Awesome. And it watches these people do all these tricks, skateboarding tricks, skydiving, diving, running, jumping, bouncing off a building, skateboards, whatever. You flip a couple channels over, and it says the Fail Army. And it shows all the people making the mistakes before they got awesome. And I wonder if they tell their mom what they're doing before they do it. Because they would tell you, they probably don't. And even after they do it, they don't tell their mom. Until she finally sees it on TV, and hopefully they're old enough they could get away with it. And there's a lot of things that I still don't tell my mom what I've done as a teenager. I still don't want to get in trouble. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. And when the chief shepherd appears, you receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I'll fear no evil. He makes me lie down in green pastures besides still waters. Any noise will make a sheep jump, will scare a sheep. We know our chief shepherd. They lie down because they know that they are being protected, that they're being cared for, that they're being watched after. And there are some sheep that will wander away. Jesus used the parable of the 99 sheep. The one sheep leaves, the 99 stay there. He leaves the 99 and he tracks down that one. And he carries it back. He doesn't guide it back. He carries it back. And there are times that one sheep can lead others astray. One takes off this way and they'll follow that path. And there are times that shepherds will break the sheep's legs. So it cannot wander away. So it cannot lead the other ones astray. And even though he breaks the leg, he will still carry that sheep around with him. To water it, to feed it, to care for it. Doesn't outright kill it. But he'll hobble the sheep so that the sheep does not lead others astray. John, the book of John. John 10. Therefore, Jesus says again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me, they were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And he says, the next verse, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when the wolf comes, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Through no one else, through no other person, can you get to heaven. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not through anyone else. No one else. There is no one else under heaven, on earth, that we can be saved. We are not narrow-minded. We are saying what Jesus said. These are his words. We're repeating what he said. But we want everybody to be saved. Not just because of the color of their skin, of what they wear, of what church they're sitting in. It does not. This is a building. This is not the church. The church is the people. There's going to be a lot of surprises in heaven. Not everybody there is going to be American. Not everybody there is going to be white. There's going to be lots and lots of people there. You're going to have eternity to spend with them, eternity to talk with them, different languages, different cultures, different understanding. People who probably came to a salvation not from God's word, but from a missionary. It says God works in mysterious ways. Some of his ways we don't know, that he reaches people, that he directs them. In the book of Acts, the eunuch in the chariot, he was reading the book of Isaiah, and God directed Philip to go talk to him, spoke with him. He was baptized, and he went back to Ethiopia, a high official. Do you think he kept it to himself? He talked to everybody. He probably talked to his entourage. Who was this guy that jumped in the chariot with you? What was the deal with that? When he gets back, he has the book of Isaiah still, which isn't cheap. It was a large scroll that they kept with them. It wasn't cheap to have. And I'm sure he spoke to a lot of people, his family, his extended family, and everybody who would listen. This is what happened. This is the joy that I have. Back to John 1, right in the very beginning again. John 1, 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John 11. Backstory. This is when Lazarus died. And Jesus, well, let him die. Could Jesus help healed his sickness? He could have. But he said, you know what? We waited here long enough. Let's go see Lazarus and wake him up. And he had to tell his disciples, no, he's really dead. But I'm glad I wasn't there because you need to see the full power of God. You're believing. Your faith is right there, but you're not fully believing that I am God. But I'll show you. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives, believes in me, will never die. Do you believe this? Names are important. Because when Jesus called out Lazarus' name, Lazarus came out. If he would have just said, come out of the tomb, how many people would have came out of their tombs that day? All of them, yeah. Jesus in Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer lives. He's the Redeemer. How did you make money as a little kid? Cut lawns. Go get aluminum cans. Go get pop bottles. 5 cents a nickel for a pop bottle, for a piece of glass. I don't know if they crushed the glass and remade it and remade glass out of it, or did they just wash the bottles and reuse them over and over again? I don't know. Maybe I don't want to know. Go towards the book of Revelation to 1 John. First John 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will know that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, correct? We're not perfect, right? Everybody. If anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. An advocate. We already have an accuser. Satan's up there saying, all these bad things. Be accusing you of all these different things that are going on. He accused Job. We have an advocate who speaks for us, and that is Christ. He is our defense attorney. Romans 11. For all Israel will be saved, as is written. There's come out of Zion the deliverer who shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. There are glimpses and examples in the Old Testament of Christ. As Moses came in Exodus, he was the deliverer. And he delivered them out of slavery. Christ comes in the New Testament and delivers us from sin for eternity. Isaiah 45, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Acts 3:14. Let's go back. The glory of the Lord. All of that glory in human flesh, disguised, but still full of power, died on the cross for us, the glorious one of God. Mark. Mark 1. This is going to put a lot of us to shame. Mark 1:24. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know that you are the Holy One of God. That was a demon speaking. That was a demon speaking, saying, we know who exactly who you are. So knowing exactly who Christ is does not save you. Putting your trust in Christ on what he's done, that is where salvation is. The Holy One of Israel, the Lamb of God. Behold, when John was baptizing, John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Same thing that you'll find in Exodus. What do they do for the Passover? They sacrifice the lamb. Without blemish. Isaiah 55. I'm going to finish on this. Isaiah 55, verse 4. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the peoples. I'm going to finish on this because I'm kind of used to the military. Even though I don't really like order and structure at times, I still do. Again, same thing with logic. If it's used against me, I hate it. But if I'm using it against somebody, I kind of like it. Joshua 5. And starting here in verse 13. And this is before the fall of Jericho. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? It says, neither, he replied. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked, What message does my Lord have for his servant? Some of the best commanders I've ever had spoke with authority. And they were there from the very beginning. And they would lead their people into battle, into combat. They were there for everything. They would share the hardships that their soldiers faced. When I taught my girls, or tried to teach them to be leaders, I put them in front. And I said, you will determine the pace that we go. But we only go as fast as the slowest person. And as the leader, you'll determine on when we stop to take breaks. But also, as a leader, you will eat last. You will drink last. You will make sure that each of us has our enough food and enough water. And whatever's left, that is yours. That's the leader. Leader does not eat first. The leader makes sure that their troops get fed. And as Christ is our leader and commander, in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 14. The armies of heaven were following him. He was in front, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth came the sharp sword with which he strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will tread the winepress of fury of the great wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will lead the army. He will be the first. Go to 2 Timothy, and we'll finish here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul, every time Paul talked about, in the book of Ephesians, talks about the armor of God. Paul was in jail many times, surrounded by basically Roman centurions, Roman guards. And he described on what the Roman soldier most likely was wearing, but the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with sandals to be ready to run, to move, and the word of God, a double-edged sword. Double-edged sword because it cuts both ways. You can't be here and be a hypocrite thinking that the sword will not cut you. It goes back and forth. No one serves as a soldier gets involved in civilians' affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Training. You are not done training in God's word, in God's righteousness, on learning everything about Christ. Because when you start reading from the Bible or listening to the word of God, the Bible on tape, that you're going to pick up something new. It does not matter how old you are as a Christian or how young you are. Young Christians have great enthusiasm. And I don't understand why that doesn't carry over. That we don't continue to have that great enthusiasm. Maybe we do. Maybe I'm the only one who seems to kind of hold it in reserve. I get told by some people that they have been told by their families not to read the Bible. And they said, why not? I said, because you'll go crazy. And I come to find out what the craziness is. Because they won't shut up about it. They have to tell someone. They're bursting at the seams. They have this much joy. They think they found something new. And it's new to them. The Holy Spirit gets in their heart and they can't contain it. They have to burst. And it annoys their family. They may be the youngest. And it annoys their family. Because they won't shut up about it. No, because they know their time is short. They know that the next breath may be the last. And they want everyone around them to know that same joy of following Christ, our Lord and Commander, our Savior, the Word of God, the Good Shepherd, the beginning and the end, the capstone, the cornerstone. Paul said he cannot lay a new foundation other than what Christ has already laid. But he can build on top of it because it's sure footing. Paul went crazy. All his friends were like, wait a minute, isn't this, you know, even the people who didn't really know him personally, isn't this this guy who was persecuting the church? Went nuts. Why? He met Christ face to face. He went crazy. That's a good crazy. I think we need some more of that good crazy in our world today. With all the trouble and turmoil that we're facing in the world, I cannot believe that churches aren't full. That we're not having 3 or 4 services here a day. That somebody's not grabbing you and say, you're a Christian. Tell me how I can be saved. How can I escape the coming wrath? They'll find something else. Let's be that good crazy. Not that we annoy people, but it's the joy that we have knowing Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, that we reach out to the people that are around us, that they know it. And I can guarantee you it's harder with family because they know you. I saw you grow up. I changed your diaper. If I hit you in the head with this hammer, will it hurt? When I hit you with this apple, will it hurt? Whether dry, dead, or alive? Yes. Then the truth is the truth, whether you change my diaper or not. Let's have a debate about it. There's no debate. Why would I debate? Christ is the Savior. End of discussion. Good crazy. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the great love that you have for each of us, that we have your word in our hands. Forgive us where we fall short, because we do fall short. Thank you for being our advocate. You know everything about us, and you're still our advocate. Thank you for being the beginning and the end, our foundation, our sure rock that we can hold on to in the storm, our light, the Holy One of God, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Let the people around us know that we follow you, that we're your ambassadors to a dying and lost world. Thank you for the mercy and grace you show us every single day, that we have the honor and the privilege following our leader and commander, who will fight the battles for us because we are too weak to fight them on our own, who strengthens us and encourages us every single day, that we have a guarantee of the Holy Spirit in our lives that urges us on, that urges us to pray for others, the glory in your name, knowing that salvation comes from no one else but you. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.